With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Ruthie, Uni, Dad and Me. I'm Ruthie and this is Dad.
I'm Dad, yeah.
In this podcast, if this is your first time tuning in, we discuss what's going on with my university life. I'm a full-time student at the University of York studying French and Spanish. And what are you, Dad?
I am a baby boomer. We're very popular these days. Boomer okay.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, boomer.
Boomer okay, which is the inverted.
Yes, I'm a baby boomer, washed up broadcaster.
So I thought we'd start with your crush entry, as that's always fun, I think. It's just where you can post who you fancy if you go to the uni. So this is my favourite from this week. MT. You said you wanted a your crush about you, so I thought I'd use this as an opportunity to tell you to stop pissing in bowls and throwing out of the window. You're nasty.
Is that the sort of thing that goes on?
No, but should I tell you what does go on, Dad?
Go on.
The boys, we in their sinks. So we're in shared bathroom accommodation, but each of the rooms have a wash basin inside, you know, for brushing your teeth and whatever. And the boys, we in them. All the boys as well.
I tell you what, I'm not shocked.
But
I'm not shocked.
And I mean, all the boys are like, yeah, why is that so weird? Why is that a big thing?
No, as long as they clean it out afterwards.
Yeah, but it's in your room. That's the place you sleep.
Well, it is the place you sleep, but I'm assuming the boys that wee in the sink are weeing in their own rooms. They're not going to other people's rooms. And
no, they're not weeing
sinks.
In the kitchen no, sink. No,
and that's good. Well, not in the
See,
kitchen sink.
All
really
girls
good.
Think this is like, you don't need to, and all boys think it's fine.
Mm.
This is the gender gap.
It is. I suppose it's easier for boys
yeah, but
because
it's still
of the
gross.
Way boys are configured. It's easier for them to wee in the sink.
Configured.
Than it is for a woman, for a girl.
No, it is easier, but there's no need to do it still.
There used to be
the reason girls aren't doing it is not because of the ease.
No, they think it's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gross factor.
It's the gross factor. But years ago, because I do try and... I mean, there's a way you're passing on to me what students are doing these days. I do try to pass on to you things from the past, which you find entertaining.
Things from the past, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they used to... Butlins was a holiday camp.
Yeah, yeah, I know what Butlins is.
Right, it was a holiday camp. They used to have chalets. It wasn't what you'd call luxuriously appointed. And the toilets weren't always convenient to get to. They weren't in your room. You know, you had to go to a toilet. And what used to happen is girls did used to, sometimes in times of desperation, girls used to go in the wash basin. And they could get you could get a sort of rash for going. And it was used to be called Butlin's Bum. It was well known as Butlin's Bum if you had a rash from using the sink as a toilet.
That is absolutely vile.
I
did have wee in a bucket my tent at Leedsfest.
Oh, at Leedsfest, yeah. Well,
I think that's a different but thing. Then this is the thing, like at least at Butlins or at Leedsfest or something like that, you're not living there, that's not your home.
No.
You get to leave it and it gets cleaned and stuff. Mm. Whereas that is your place for a year.
Can I ask you about the sport you're doing? Because you're doing netball and you're doing boxing.
Yeah, netball quite intermittently though because it clashes with one of my seminars, so I can't always go.
Right.
But yeah.
The only reason I'm asking this is something in the papers every week to frighten parents of students. And there was one this week talking about initiation rituals. The story said initiation rituals put students off university sport. Talented students are dropping team sports when they arrive at university because of archaic initiation practices that hark back to the boarding school fagging system. Students are expected to down copious amounts of alcohol while performing performing acts, including clenching burning lavatory paper between their buttocks. And that's the least horrendous of all these things. Does anything like that go on at your place? I mean, even like the rugby team and things?
Yeah, so nothing like that, I don't know. But one of my next-door neighbour in my halls, he does rugby. And one of the things that he was telling me that he has to do is, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think it was 10 in 100 or something. Have to do 10 pints in like 100... No, it can't have been 10 pints in 100 minutes. Is that a lot or not?
That's a heck of a lot.
Is that a lot? I think it was 10 pints in 100 minutes, and I think they go to 10 different bars or something. And then to pre-drink, you have to drink a whole bottle of wine or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Those were the rules. And then I know... I've not heard about it being played. It might have well have been in a different college rugby team or something, but I know one of the famous games I remember hearing about was called Centurion, which is you have to do 100 shots of beer in 100 minutes, which sounds really easy. I don't know whether I've told you this one.
It's the shots, I think you told me that, just
the throwing your thing back. So I think they've maybe done that. The other one is always save the queen, all the time. So that I went to a pub quiz last Friday, and there was a couple of rugby teams, and you have to throw a coin when they're not looking into their beer glass or whatever, and then you have to save the queen from drowning, because the queen is on the coin, obviously, by downing your drink.
Well, these don't sound and half then, as bad as some of the ones that are listed here.
Yeah. No, I don't think there has been ones going on like that, but I mean, they do go out every single Wednesday if you're on like the rugby teams, and you are expected to drink. Hold your drink or whatever. Not with the girls, I don't think. Not with the girls' sports.
No.
Although you do get bin bagged. Not this is again. I'm not in any of the sports that would be good enough for this. But I know if you're in the like university netball team, they won't let freshers look nice, so you have to get bin bagged before you go out. So they just put a bin bag over you.
Really?
Like you have your head cut out and your arms cut out and everything, but just a bin bag over your clothes because you're not allowed to look nice if you're a fresher.
Is that right?
Yeah. Ridiculous. And then the only other one I've heard of, which is again, is just from a friend who goes to Bristol, and he had to, and it was initiation into not, it was like a, not a sports society, just another kind of society. And what he had to do was read out his personal statement from uni. And every time the room cringed, you have to do a shot. And obviously your personal statement is pretty cringy, so... Mm. A lot of shots.
I think those are just drinking games, and that's about most of these involve, well, not to put you find a point, it involve your bum reading through these.
They sound like American ones, you know, like fraternity
ones. Well, they're terrible, apparently, and they are taking this seriously, because apparently they're introducing a whistleblowing system in January. Under this, students will be able to report harmful initiations anonymously with a single click on a website, and it's a crackdown by British Universities and College Sports, the BUCS. And obviously they don't want to lose talented sports people, but, you know, if I were talented at sport, and then I were asked to do some of these things.
Luckily you're not talented at sport, eh?
Luckily I'm not talented at sports, and luckily I'm not at university, but if I were, I just think, do I want to play rugby and go through all that?
But you know, it's kind of like, some of it is kind of part of team camaraderie. Wow. Like I understand, I'm not saying that those ones are right, but I get why they do go out and drink like loads and loads and loads every week, because it's about building a team or whatever. Like, I do kind of get it.
I think it's sort of gone out of British sporting culture. I mean, professional football teams did used to bond by going out and getting drunk and behaving atrociously, but I think it's pretty well gone out of professional sport, and I think they're trying to take it out of university sport as well,
which yeah,
I'd sort of approve of. But I'm glad to hear. Basically, just one other thing I needn't worry about with you.
I mean, you needn't worry about it because I'm not good enough at sport.
Good. Thank goodness for that.
Let me tell you about my week, Dad. So we went out most recently on the Saturday. We record this on a Wednesday. And I thought you'd be interested in knowing what the like state school and private school divide is like at university. You know, that's the first time you're mixing with people who've gone to a different type of school and whatever. I think this sums it up pretty well. So me and a couple of the other people had got back to our flat. We were in the kitchen making food when we got in. I was making a cheese toastie once again in my wok.
You're still using your wok?
I've not got a frying pan.
No, but what about a sandwich maker? Were we not going to get a sandwich maker?
I've not got a sandwich maker either.
Would that help? Because we can get you a sandwich maker. They're not.
I don't think I need one. Like, the wok is working absolutely fine, okay. And I can just do an open toastie, can't I, really? Mm. You know, do it on the grill. I'd also run out of bread. All I had left was the crusts of the bread. So I was making my cheese toastie in the crusts of my bread in my wok. Quite sad, sadly, really. We'd just got the bus home, really cold.
What time is this? Saturday, this?
This is 3 a.m, maybe, or something like that.
Oh, 3 a.m, you've been out for the night.
Yeah, we'd been out for the night, yeah. Right, so okay. We'd had to get a bus home, was cooking my crusts. And two of the other people who in my flat walk in, who went to private school, they walk in with their pizza boxes that they just got delivered after getting their Uber home. And I just thought, that's it. That's the divide.
Well, you say that. That's not so
much. It's not really.
I think lots of people who went to state school do get pizzas delivered by delivery.
Just so sad. But there really isn't a divide. That's kind of what I wanted to say. You don't really feel it at all.
No.
I thought maybe you would. I thought from seeing films and TV shows about going to university, they really painted out like there'd be people there who'd be like, oh, where did you go to school? Expecting, you know, wanting you to say what school they'd heard of or whatever. And you having to be like, oh no, I just went to, you know, normal school. But like, never in my experience has it happened at all. I'll tell you what I've been struggling with at university, and that's finding like a balance between everything, because you've made these good friends who are in your flat and stuff, as most people do, because they're the people you're around 24/7 or whatever, and you want to carry on hanging out with them all the time because it's very easy and relaxed, like having family. And then you also want to try and get meeting all the people on your course and making better friends with them, but you don't want to lose the other friends, and like that balance, and then a balance between the work and doing like going out and stuff, which you still want to do because it's fun, and then with societies and all that kind of thing, and doing all your homework and everything. No one really teaches you how to do it. You're kind of just thrown in the deep end. And I do think it's very much like, because it's that bubble thing again, it's very sort of all or nothing all the time. Like, so they say what you should do when they teach you about in like orientation week and stuff is that you should do the rule of eight, which is 8 hours of work, 8 hours of play, and 8 hours of rest or something, 8 hours of sleep. Yeah. And so, but like, when you actually think about it, 8 hours of work and 8 hours of rest just doesn't work out, because that's like all the time for like getting to and from lessons, if you need to go into town, if you need to do a shop, if you need to make food, if you need to go to dinner or whatever. That's all within rest, within play. And like, that just is impossible to upkeep this rule of eight thing.
No. So what rule are you keeping? Are you,
no rule. Just no, playing it by ear.
Yeah, playing it by ear. Obviously, you're going to end up doing that. But what? But how long do you think you're doing on work? If they say
on
8 hours
of work.
See,
I'm probably doing... I like fully honestly.
Yeah,
well,
fully
I don't know, because I have like some days I have like 4 hours of actual lectures and seminars. So then I'll probably do an extra 3. So then I'm doing like 7, which is quite a lot.
Yeah.
But the days when I only have one thing, I'll probably only do an extra 2 hours. Then I'm only doing 3.
Yeah, because if you were actually, you know, in the world of work, that would be 8 hours.
Yeah, but it's easier then, isn't it? Because no one's setting you tasks or telling you what you need to do. Or like, you just go in. You do your 8 hours and you go home. Like, it's impossible. I just think it's really, really difficult. And I think sometimes they expect too much from 18-year-olds, really.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on the course you're doing. Some people say they do very little in the first year.
Yeah, no, some people really don't have to, and their courses are really easy and stuff. But then I think it's just the thing of it's each course is completely comparable in their eyes or whatever, of how much stuff, you know, you should have missed, how much work, like how many hours you'll have to put in of work or whatever. But obviously it's really not, because people's courses are very different and stuff, and I think it's sometimes a bit unfair.
And when you go out for a night out, which you do, what, 2 or 3 times a week, would you say?
Yeah, two or three times a week.
You stay out quite late, don't you?
Most of the time. But I'm not that, like, I'm still quite good at, like, I'll get up at 9 o'clock the next morning and sort of don't really feel it the next day. I guess I'm lucky because I'm young. But then again, I don't think it's not completely healthy to be, even if you do get up at 9 the next morning, like, if you've only had, like, 5 hours of sleep and you're hungover, that's still not a healthy balance, even if you're doing all the things.
No, but I don't think, when they say rule of eight, they're probably saying that's like a template, you don't have to stick to it. I mean, there's no way you're going to stick to
it. No, obviously not.
Not in a million years.
But we're almost done for this term. We're on week 8, we only have to go up to week 10. And the strike's going on for the next 2 weeks, so some people don't have anything else.
Wow. So are your lecturers on strike?
I know one of them definitely isn't. I only have one lecturer, so that's doesn't. I don't know whether he is, but it doesn't really matter. It's only one thing. I know that one of my seminar like leaders, my professors, is striking, I think, and one is definitely not, and I don't know. You're not really meant to ask, are you? You can ask. We can ask the students, they've told us. But then they're not under.
You have to know, don't you?
Yeah, but what the idea is that they are well within their rights to just say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't sit." And then you turn up to the seminar, and it's actually the leader never turns up or whatever, because it's to cause the most amount of disruption possible.
Blimey. Mm-hmm. So I suppose one way you are saving a bit of time is not watching TV.
I really don't watch nearly as much TV as I used to watch.
No, you watch lots of TV at home. But are you watching I'm a Celebrity?
I have been watching a bit of I'm a Celebrity. I've not finished a single episode, but I've been, you know, watching bits of it in and out and stuff. I saw a bit of last night's episode. I think Kate Garraway is maybe the most annoying person in the world.
Is she doing that laugh? I've not watched it. Well,
oh,
I watched
Dad,
a tiny bit.
Don't watch it. You'll get so annoyed with her.
Well, I
should. She's so annoying. She's clearly got real talent there for filling time on a TV show. Mm. Like, just goes off watch on her. One. Like, more annoying than she is on Breakfast TV. She needs to just be quiet.
Does she do that laugh that she does on
Breakfast TV?
Oh, dear. That's just terrible. Well, I saw one tiny bit of it. I saw Ian Wright with the Scorpions. But Ian Wright, Ian Wright, the footballer?
Oh, yeah. He seems all right, actually.
He always seems to be a decent guy.
The James Haskell, the England rugby
player? He's a rugby player.
Yeah. He seemed a really nice guy. And then, like, I was surprised, because I was scrolling through Twitter and stuff, just the amount of, like, transphobia against Caitlyn Jenner and stuff. Like, that Bruce...
Yeah, so who's Caitlyn Jenner?
Caitlyn Jenner is Kylie and Kendall's...
Yeah, she's one of the Kardashians.
Yeah. She's Kardashian-related and whatever. But also, she won before she transitioned, she won a medal, gold medal at the Olympics, decathlon.
Decathlon. Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. Can we talk for a second about how ridiculous the decathlon is?
It's ten events.
Hmm. Just pick one.
Well, that's the thing about it, is you have to have a wide variety of skills.
Decathlon, Dad. 10. It's a lot.
So she won a decathlon, and then
she's on I'm a Celeb. I mean, she said it herself,
so
like in one of the episodes.
From a man into a woman.
Yeah, her name used to be Bruce.
Of course, I know.
Bruce Jenner was trending on Twitter, which is obviously just the whole nation has revealed itself to be massively like.
Well, the Twitter. I mean, there would.
Yeah, they Twitter.
So what was Twitter saying? Because I never saw any of it.
Just loads of them were saying stuff about her and just insulting and being transphobic and just like stuff like that. I can't remember any specifics really, but yeah, just I wouldn't have thought that.
No, what is she like on the programme though? She's a bit annoying.
Yeah. Her voice is pretty annoying because it's really American. But she's less annoying than Kate Garraway, and she's annoying, but she doesn't seem like stuck up or anything. No. So
Ian Wright would have a good chance of winning it. I think I saw in the betting
Is he ahead?
He's not the favourite. I think he's second favourite.
Who will be the favourite? Roman Kemp?
Yes, Roman Kemp is the favourite.
He came across really well.
Yeah. Did he? And he's from a band? Or?
No, he's a Capital like DJ or whatever, but he's Martin Kemp's son.
Martin Kemp, and
Shirley Kemp, was from Wham.
Wham?
She was in Wham.
Well, she would have been a backing singer for Wham.
She was a backing singer of Wham, and his godfather is like George Michael and stuff.
So he's well connected.
Yeah. Bit of nepotism going on, maybe.
Totally against it. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
What did I have for breakfast? Had a slice of toast with some jam on, a little bit of pineapple, and a little bit of yoghurt.
What, fresh pineapple or pineapple out of a tin?
Fresh pineapple.
Wow.
I have fresh pineapple every morning at breakfast.
Really?
By the way, in case you didn't know, I have in catered accommodation, so I get 5 breakfasts and 5 dinners. A week. Like tea time dinners.
You don't get 5 breakfasts every day.
Yeah, I get 5 breakfasts and 5 dinners a day. And I eat them all. No, I get breakfast every day, weekday, and dinner every day.
Dinner every day. Well, you know all the years when you were growing up and I said to you, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Mm. And of course, everybody, not just yourself, but everybody, all your siblings, they all poo-pooed it.
No, I absolutely didn't. No, well, that's a lie.
Anyway, it's true, it is.
He's lying for effect, though.
According to the science editor of the Times, it is. The most important meal of the day might be even more important than you think. A study has found that children who skipped breakfast scored the equivalent of nearly 2 grades lower at GCSE. I mean, I know this is all behind you now, but it was in a magazine.
No, it's interesting to know.
It was interesting. No, Frontiers in Public Health asked nearly 300 children about their breakfast habits and GCSE scores. After adjusting for socioeconomic status and other factors that might affect consumption, the researchers found a strong link between the two. And this study was done at Leeds University.
Well, there you go.
So you might have even taken part
in our back garden.
Yeah, indeed. Katie Adolphus, co-author from Leeds University, said there were good reasons to believe that having breakfast could sharpen your thinking. Glucose is fuel for the brain. There must be a bit of that in pineapple, I would have thought, or in your jam.
There's serotonin in pineapple.
Yeah, brilliant. Breakfast.
Happy.
Yeah, well, oh, it keeps you happy.
Yeah, I just eat just loads and loads of it whenever I'm sad.
Brilliant. Breakfast provides energy for neuronal activity, she said, adding that the research should provide an impetus to introduce more free breakfast programmes at schools. So basically campaigning for free breakfast at schools. And they're all saying that they're going to do stuff like that because there's an election on. So everything's been
promises. Yeah, I know. I read through the... I didn't manage to see the debate. But I did read through the promises, whatever, and I was like, they're all promising to make wages higher and build loads of houses, like every party, so it doesn't really matter who you go for, because apparently it's all going to be just great.
It is. I'm looking forward to it.
So this is really funny, but there's literally, it has no links, it has no current affairs, prescience or anything, it's just funny. So have you heard of STEM subjects?
STEM subjects?
Yeah.
No.
So they're the science, technology, engineering and math subjects, the numbers subjects, they're the ones that people like more, they're the, like, you get the B, what's it called,
Bachelor of Science,
like BSc or whatever.
Yeah.
Like those are the fancy ones.
Well,
the science degrees, the ones that aren't humanities, basically, and they're called STEM subjects or whatever, and all the people who do humanities are, like, there's a culture that the STEM subjects kind of look down on the people who do humanities, like English Lit and arts and politics and all those kind of things. And so, in return, the humanities subjects are like, oh, well, up yours, STEM subjects. And I heard some people were talking about how they were anti-Semitic.
Anti-Semitic.
Which I just thought was brilliant. Obviously, it's like, you need to be very careful that you don't get the pronunciation wrong.
Correct.
But I just thought that was so funny. Other thing, because I wondered how politically active things would get as it gets more and more close to the general election and the vote and stuff. And I have actually seen quite a few vote Labour signs on people's windows. No vote Tory ones, though.
No, well, you wouldn't expect that in university. I mean, there probably will be people who vote Tory, but they'd keep quiet about it, wouldn't you, if you're in university?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A bit of music now, Ruth?
Yeah, let's.
Let's start with yours. It's Girl in Red.
Yeah, and it's a song called Say Anything.
See, that was odd, that, because the lyrics sounded quite male, and yet it's called Girl in Red. I mean, presumably a female singer?
This is a singer called Marie Ulven Ringheim, known professionally as Girl in Red. She is 20 years old. She was born in 1999. That make you feel old?
Mm.
And she is from Norway, another Norwegian singer, because we had Sigrid before, and right. She's from Norway as well. Mm. This song that you just heard was released in January of 2018, but her most famous one is a song called I Want to Be Your Girlfriend, and that was in the was listed at number 9 on the New York Times list of 68 best songs of 2018.
Right.
She's been named a queer icon by Paper, which is probably why you thought that the lyrics were quite... Because you're so heteronormative, Dad.
I'm just so heteronormative.
Well, that's probably why you thought that the lyrics were male.
What's cisgender? Am I cisgender?
Yeah, like so that? Just if your biological gender matches like your presenting gender. Yeah.
But I'm a heteronormative cisgender.
No, you're not. You're not heteronormative. Heteronormative is what society is.
Ah, right.
So, like, so I'm just cisgender. When you assumed that... you were like, oh, they're really male lyrics, because you just assume that everyone is heterosexual.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's sort of like a starting point. Although I did read something yesterday that said, assume all characters in fiction are bisexual. So until you read through it, just assume they're all bisexual. But of course, that's only one of hundreds of things they could be.
Yeah. And then...
I went to an exhibition at the Hepworth Gallery, the world-class art gallery that we have in Wakefield, and somebody was described as cisgender queer, Christina Quarles, and I was discussing with your mum exactly what cisgender queer is.
Yeah.
You can probably enlighten me exactly what
that
means.
So she's both biologically female and presents as female, so looks like how you would imagine a girl to look, but she's queer. Meaning
gay,
basically.
But it just means gay, it's not...
Queer does, yeah, but it means more kind of...
So why do some like people... What's the difference in gay and queer? Is queer more open than gay?
Yeah, so, like, I think some people just prefer the word queer. And it's also, like, about reclaiming the word as well.
It's difficult for us boomers to keep up, but you're a great help.
Thank you, I am a great help. But I think there's more room for kind of...
Nuances.
Queer is more an umbrella term, so there's more room for people who are, like, non-conforming to gender and, like, those kind of things. I think people prefer it because it's a bit more broad.
Right.
Than just saying gay. And anyway, I didn't know whether you'd know... So the song is, like, very... just simple lyrics and stuff. It's quite like retro in theme or whatever. Mm. And it's called Say Anything after the film. I didn't know whether you'd seen this film.
Oh.
That's what I was trying to say.
Say Anything.
Say Anything. 1989 film, John Cusack, very young John Cusack. And
no,
it's a very iconic film. And the cover
have you
of
seen
this.
The film then?
Yeah. The cover of this single is him with the boombox. He holds a boombox outside the girl's window to get the girl. And it's one of those scenes that is, you know, like in one of those John Hughes movie scenes.
Right,
you know, like
right.
The punching of the air in The Breakfast Club or the hair in the shower in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like, it's one of those iconic, like, movie moments.
Right.
So that's what this song is kind of about.
Okay, I'm going to play a tune recommended by by one of the emailers last week. This is Billy Bragg.
I loved you then as I love you still. Though I put you on a pedestal, they put you on the pill. I don't feel bad about letting you go. I just feel sad about letting you know. I don't want to change the world. I'm not looking for a New England. I'm just looking for another girl.
That's Billy Bragg. I suspect you've heard that.
Yeah, I have actually. Yeah,
if not his version, there was a version by Kirsty MacColl who.
From the Pogues.
Who does the Christmas song with the Pogues?
She just does that. She doesn't do anything else. She exists only in Christmas.
No, which
and
well,
only
was,
in New York.
That was a hit for her. Not from New York at all. She's
Scottish, but
Irish, I think.
Irish,
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
Are the Pogues Irish?
But she's Never not. Mind. She's died, sadly.
Is she?
Yes, she died in an accident. But yeah, that was
I know that because whenever that song gets played on, it's obviously such a jolly song, and everyone loves it, and everyone's singing onto it. Someone always says, "Oh, you know, she died in a car accident."
I don't think it was a boat accident.
It was a proper tragic, like...
Oh, it was very tragic, yeah. She was very young.
Can I Google how she died
Google,
exactly?
Google, I think it's a boat accident.
I think it's a boat accident as well, because there's a few famous people who've died in boats.
Natalie Wood. You did say absolutely tragic, and you did say there are a few people who died in boat accidents, and I was trying to think, all I could think was Natalie Wood and everyone on the Titanic, but...
Rose. No, it's not Rose. Leonardo DiCaprio's character? What was Jack? Jack died.
Jack. A sort of a moderate helping of emails, but not millions of them this week, and mostly, I'm afraid, from my cronies.
As per usual.
Yeah, Nigel Bennett. Well, not always.
Maybe I need to be plugging other forms to get in touch.
I'll just go through these, who, like I say, are mostly from my cronies. Nigel Bennett, who's a self-confessed crony. In fact, he describes himself as a stalker, but I think he's more of a crony. And he says, as Ruth is studying languages, what better way to learn than from an actual native? And he's suggested Edouard Lapaglia as a possible tutor, who's from my other podcast. I know you don't like me mentioning that I have another podcast, but from the other one. Brian,
makes me feel not very special.
Yes, Brian Long, another crony.
An actual friend in real life. A man who I've probably met because he's friends with you.
I think you probably have. Well, what Brian says, this is interesting, because you made the point last week, quite an interesting point. What do we sound like to the French? You know, when you're speaking French, what does our accent sound like? And he says that he's always tried to, when he's been on holidays in France, he's always tried to speak French. And he said, after a week there speaking French, he said, I could get by, but I went to the receptionist and I needed to hand over my passport. And on seeing our passports, the receptionist was surprised to find out we were British. After listening to my French for a week, she'd assumed I was German. So apparently,
so it does have an accent.
Apparently we sound like Germans, because he's mentioned another mate of his who's from Skipton, did business in France and was regularly mistaken for being German. So
I guess it is kind of a similar, like, harshness of sound.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me that
much. We can't flow as well as, say, the French can. I'm sure if Italians speak French, it sounds more French.
Yeah, I suspect so. It's a romance language, isn't it? And Hugh Besant, who gets in touch with us a lot, is ridiculing me for never having heard of Mario Kart.
Yeah, I know. I told you everyone's heard of Mario Kart.
Yeah, except
We've
me.
We've obviously been playing Muchos de Mario Kart.
You're still playing loads of it.
Oh, yeah. Like, quite a lot. Well, we went through a patch where we weren't playing as much, I think, over the weekend and stuff. The boy who has the controllers went home for the weekend, so had to have, like, we all
is
had withdrawal
to go
symptoms.
Home if he's got
stuff.
Controllers?
But, you know what? That's what I said. I said the room should be permanently open. It's not, you know, it's extremely selfish to just go home. Mm. But then we had a good session where we were trying to, because you can unlock stuff. Oh. If you, like, get first in all the cups and things, you can unlock, like, new courses. This is all also really exciting for me, because I never had Mario Kart as a kid. So they've all kind of been excited about this.
Well, you're not a game person, are you?
Not really, not at all. But I'm a quiz person.
Ah, right.
And we've been doing a lot of quizzes. Last night, we were up in the kitchen until maybe 12:30, 1 a.m. This was not, we weren't drinking or anything like that, just doing quiz questions.
Oh, really?
We do a lot of quiz questions. I think there's a couple of us who are, like, really nerdy, and so we're big into quiz questions at the moment. And there's a pub quiz.
What, from a book or from the internet?
Just from the internet. Yeah. There's a pub quiz every Friday that's on, so, you know, we're training.
If you do want to get in touch with us, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
And no need to be a crony.
You can be however old you want. Mm. And then if you did enjoy the music as well while you're on the internet, you can go over to the Spotify and type in either Martin and Ruth or Ruthie, me and my dad, or Ruthie, uni dad and me now, maybe. But Martin and Ruth works fine. And go on to Spotify and you can find the songs from this week in full and all the others from all the other weeks. I wanted to give you a little update on the house hunt. We went to visit two houses on Saturday, and we've been looking at loads of online ones. The first one we pretty much didn't like, because a couple of rooms had fold down desks from the wall. So, like, you didn't even have an actual desk. It was just like a tray that you would, like, eat your food on that pulled down from the wall, which is obviously not really okay.
And six of you moving.
Six of us moving into one house, yeah. Five and then me. Just because, you know, sometimes you say six, and then it's like, oh, well, is it seven, because one is you.
I was counting you as a person.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't know whether you meant the six of you, like six others. So it's not, it's five. plus eight. So either 5 plus 1 or 6.
Right.
Or 7 minus 1.
Or 7 minus 1 or 3 plus 3.
Yeah.
Or
2 plus 2 plus 2.
Yeah, 2 plus 8. 2 cubed.
No. Yeah. Is that how you do 2 cubed?
2 times 2 is 4. Times 2 is 6. No, it's 8.
No, it's 8. Yeah, I was going to say that.
There's 8 of you moving in.
There's 8 of us moving in. It's a massive house.
Started off the thing. There was only 6 of you moving in. Now there's 8.
Right, two squared.
There's a massive house. So you looked at this house.
At this place, and then we went to see another one on the same street, which was decent. It was actually like, all right, I could definitely live there. It wasn't perfect, but it definitely could live there. But so you know how when you view houses when you're a grown up and you go in and they are the nicest that they'll ever look. You've obviously clearly just cleaned, all the beds are done out, there's no rubbish anywhere.
Smell of fresh bread, coffee.
Or a bit of Glade at least. You walk into this house and someone shows you around and they tell you about this is this, and you've got the dishwasher already installed, the kitchen was just redone in 2015, whatever. The guy just drops us off at the house, knocks on the door, no one answers it. He opens the door and he's like, yeah, you can just go straight in. He stands outside, doesn't show us around or anything. We just start walking in. The people, the uni students who were there at the moment were like, we had a big house party last night, so it's like a bit of a state. We walk around this house, there's literally stuff absolutely everywhere. I'm trying to taking pictures for some people who couldn't like visit the house. And there's just no point, like you literally can't even see anything because there's just clothes absolutely everywhere. There's like, and like pizza boxes still on their beds and stuff. And this is because like you don't need to make anything look nice because there's such a high demand for it. They know you'll pay £125 even if the place is a state when you go and see it. And like you look on the usually there's such, the pictures are so much better than the actual place that you go and visit. But on this there's like dirty stuff in the sink in the pictures just because it doesn't matter.
Bother with the pictures.
No, because like they don't need to at all. There's like boxes of pizza on the pictures and all sorts and clothes everywhere on the pictures because they don't have to. And that's the, and it's such a big signifier of what the problem is, that the market is so saturated that landlords can get away with just doing whatever they want. Absolutely anything.
Well,
they charge so much for these places and you're thinking,
well, how much are they talking about for the 6 of you?
So it's about £125 each. Is that £125 is our very top budget. But we've looked at some places that are £120. We're going to see, this is bills included. We're going to see one that's £126.99. I think that's the very highest that we're going. But we're trying to more be around the £115, £120 mark. But, and when you think about that, you're like, oh, it's not that bad. I'm paying more than that this year to live in halls and it's way not, like, it won't be as nice of a place or whatever. But then you times 125 by 6 people, that's £750 a week.
I know. It's exploitative.
Oh my God, it's massively exploitative. And the university does nothing to combat it.
I don't think there's anything it could do, is there? You know, within
and
a free,
I get
market,
that it's like private
it's
business,
supply
but then,
and demand.
But then they do it with halls. Like, there's no need for the uni to be charging. So there's, just take for this, for instance, I'm paying £145 per week at the moment. Is that all right? I'm allowed to say how much I'm paying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, £145 per week. And there's about 50 people on my floor. So just on my floor alone, they're getting £7,250 a week.
Yeah.
And the quality of my accommodation is not good enough for that. Nor is the like catered food or whatever. And it's just,
well, your food's okay, isn't it?
It's just fine, yeah. But I just don't, I don't think that the idea with students should be, let's get as much money as possible from them. And they've put up the, all of the, Adam Bennett is like the main company that you use in York for finding student houses and stuff for next year. And they've put all their rent up by a fiver per week. Like everything's up by a fiver.
It is pretty outrageous. It's pretty outrageous. And they will also screw you over on deposits, you realise that as well.
And tell you that you've made holes in the wall when you haven't, and all sorts.
Students are losing thousands of pounds a year to landlords who refuse to hand back deposits. This is according to campaigners. 1 in 6 students who rents from a private landlord either lost their deposit or had to fight to get it back. According to figures, the average individual deposit is £311. Have you not discussed deposits
yet? No, not yet, because we've not gone to sign a lease or anything. We've got another 5 viewings booked for this week.
Is there a chance you'll lose it if you don't
the property that we went to see last week.
We like it. It seems to
show. We like it, we do, but it was only the second one we'd seen. And we've got another 5 booked for this week. So we're going to see. I can't go and see them tomorrow because I'm in seminars all day. But most of the other people are. We've got another 2 booked for tomorrow and 3 more booked on Saturday because boxing is not on because it's fight night, Dad.
It's fight night?
It's fight night on Saturday. So boxing on Saturday morning. It's not
on. How does that affect your boxing on Saturday morning? I don't understand.
Because they're not training on Saturday morning. Because it's fight night they're fighting in the evening.
Oh, they're fighting. I thought when you said fight night.
Because I'm fighting in the evening.
You're not fighting.
Of course I'm not fighting. The people who are proper boxers are fighting in the evening. So there's no training on the Saturday morning.
Not boxer of the week this week?
No. No, there wasn't a boxer. There's not a boxer of the week every week, Dad.
Well,
just that one week.
Anyway, £311 is the average deposit, so try and get it for a little bit less than that if you can. However,
do you have to get someone to like look over the papers? What are the rules?
It might help.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any rules, really.
Because I don't know, would you just go in, you're like, can I buy it, please? Like, how does it even work?
Well, you're not buying
it,
you're renting it.
We are renting it, yeah.
Oh, they'll
it's a lease.
Don't worry, they'll talk you through it.
I would prefer someone on my side to talk me through it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure me or your mum will go and have a look for it with you.
Mm. Look through the papers or whatever.
Look through the papers.
Yeah, no, they are getting snapped up, the properties, and you do want to get somewhere that's nice.
You do.
But
I mean, if you see somewhere nice, I'd just snap it up because they're all going to be.
I think so, yeah. We've all said that. The 6 of us have said if we're not all out of viewing and you think it's really good, we all trust each other to just make a call.
But the good news is, after being exploited by landlords, according to a report here, this is by the Higher Education Statistics Agency. Basically, the report is saying that the poorest applicants are still not getting into the top universities. The number of students from poor families getting into top universities has stalled, according to a think tank. Reform says that the proportion of students from disadvantaged families at leading universities has increased by only 0.25% in 5 years. So
quarter of 1%. So 0.25%.
Well, basically, it has. It basically
0.25 or something.
Basically, the poor kids are not getting into top universities. The worst performing universities are King's College London, Queen Mary University of London.
I've
University
got two
College
two of my
London,
best friends are at those two.
Yeah, and Royal Holloway University of London. So it's the London universities. Mm. Oxford's done slightly better, etc., etc. But the report
there's
says
a lot of them. The problem is there's a lot of pressure on like Oxford and Cambridge because everyone's watching them, but then
but the
places like Durham as well like always end up that they can be a lot less diverse because they're not being watched as tightly.
Correct. The report says attending one of the UK's, and this is the good news for you, attending one of the UK's top universities can be a gateway to social mobility. Those who attend Russell Group universities, for example, earn 40% more on average than those who study at other higher education institutions.
Is that just because they're...
That's what
do you
it
know,
says.
I get that that's true, but I don't know whether the link is between Russell Group unis and earning more or whether it's between people whose parents earn more and they happen to go to Russell Groups. Do you know what I mean? Like, the link is there, but I'm not sure it's such a... What's the thing? Like, correlation doesn't equal causation or something?
If you say so, I've never heard that. But
I think that's what they say in, like, science or something.
Right. But you will, when you've been screwed over for deposits and not...
I'll earn 40% more, yeah.
You will eventually earn 40% more, which leads me to ask you, are there... I know that people think because you've got a broad Leeds accent, you're basically, you know, Jenny from the block. You're basically from...
Jenny from the block.
You're basically, you're from the ghetto. I'm just wondering, are there... And you've mentioned to me that there are kids from posh schools, you know, very posh schools, at your university. Have you met any kids from, you know, St. Muggins school?
Boy who lives in Scunthorpe.
You remember boy who lives in Scunthorpe?
Scunthorpe's pretty dire.
I'm just going to thank you for that. It's pretty working class. It's steelworks and all that. But what are most...
I don't know. I just don't think
quite...
you would even know, really.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the people I've met are like working class, middle classes. It's hard. It's hard
most
to know. You don't ask,
you.
Do you?
You're
yeah.
Sort of...
You don't know, and you wouldn't ask. And in the UK and stuff, and we really care about it. Whereas I think in other countries it's a bit more lax. Maybe at university it's like being in another country where classes. Not as noticeable.
I think it is like being in another country. I think you're spot on there. I think it's you know, they do things differently there.
And maybe class, just you don't see it because everyone's kind
you're
of in the same
sort of age or going out.
Yeah, everyone's that, so. Living in the same kind of halls. Even if you're well off, as like your family's well off or whatever, everyone's a little bit skint most of the time because, you know, because it's your first time you're handling your own money. Well, it's the first time you're living away from home and handling your own money for most people. Obviously, some people are different. But yeah, maybe it's just that.
One of your great heroes, Ruth, got a bit of a kicking this week, and this is Marie Kondo.
She's not one of my great heroes at all. I've never even watched the show.
I
like to quote her in a semi-ironic way. Like, I'll be like, oh, Marie Kondo in your papers or whatever, Dad.
You were talking about decluttering, weren't you?
Yeah.
About 20 podcasts ago or 50 podcasts
Marie Kondo in your life or whatever.
Marie Kondo in your life.
But I've actually never seen the thing. I'm not... It's fake fan, Dad. All I know is that I fold my clothes the way that Marie Kondo says to fold your clothes. So I like googled it, what's like the best way or whatever, and she tells you how to roll your socks instead of
yes, this is when you're packing.
Yeah, not just packing, just all in my normal drawers.
And have you kept your room beautiful and tidy?
It's pretty tidy at the moment. I've got a few clothes out, but I keep it fairly neat.
And do we thank Marie?
I've got a lot of washing to do though, Dad.
You should have brought it home, haven't you?
Yeah, no, but I wanted to have it before next week. So.
Do you thank Marie Kondo for...
My sock drawer has never looked better.
Okay. Well done, Marie Kondo, on that. Not so well done on opening an online store. This is Marie Decluttering Kondo, who's now trying to sell you things like an electric oil diffuser, ceramic chopstick rests, and camellia wood shiatsu sticks.
What's a shiatsu stick?
I have absolutely no idea, but I'm pretty sure you don't need one. And what's a shiatsu stick? It's $75. That's what a shiatsu stick is. She's, of course, she wrote her book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, where she said, you don't need all this clutter all over the place. She's now offering a tuning fork and a quartz crystal for $75. Ms. Kondo, according to this website of hers, is never without a crystal and uses her tuning fork daily to help her reset.
Wow.
So it's a tuning fork like...
You just hit it against a table and it's meant to, like, the frequency is meant to calm you in it.
Yeah, helps her to reset. I've never heard of that before. You can also buy a quarter pound bag of charcoal for $18.
Oh, amazing. I was just thinking I needed some charcoal.
Or a scented... candle.
Not allowed to have candles in my room.
Aren't you?
Nope.
That fire risk. The burnt oak charcoal can be used to absorb odours. But this sounds like with all these boys...
Mumbo jumbo?
Weeing in there. Well, it sounds like mumbo jumbo, yeah. But with all those boys weeing in their rooms, you might be as well to have something, you know, this burnt oak charcoal. Filter water. You can filter water with a charcoal or provide a healthy boost to rotted plants. The scented candle gives off notes of English heirloom rose, lavender rose geranium, and Ceylon tea to inspire an atmosphere of tranquility. Do you want to know what the shiatsu stick is? It's actually only $12.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just get one instead then. Just wait for it to arrive.
It's got pointy and blunt ends. This camellia wood pressure point stick aims to enhance the ancient art of shiatsu. So it's something you would use. It's almost like...
interesting.
What's that Japanese thing where they prick you with needles?
Oh, acupuncture.
Yeah, it's almost like acupuncture, that sort of thing. Do you have a meme for us?
Yes, I have a meme. Leave them laughing. That's what you always say. Open brackets. Invention of fishnet stockings. Close bracket. Fisherman 1. Help, I got caught in the fishnet. Fisherman 2. Is it just me or is Dave looking a little hot? Fisherman 3. No, Dave is definitely looking hot right now.
Good. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to listen to the songs that we played today in full, then you can go over to Spotify and just type in Martin and Ruth or Ruthie, me and my dad. Either of those will get you to the full playlist with this week's songs and all the others.